61, mostly sunny for game day on Saturday, but you can bet it's going to be a little cool at night by the time we get to that 7:30 kick. And then we finish off 63, partly cloudy Sunday, and the end of the 7 day is 64 on Monday. So a little more seasonal, but again, we need the rain, and I hope everybody's careful out there, particularly because once the rain hits and the lows get into those high 40s, we're going to see fog in the outlying areas and probably a lot in the metro regions as well. So anyway, be careful. Enjoy the ball game, and again, have a very, very substantial Veterans Day today. Thanks, everybody at Lee's, for allowing us the time to tell you all about the weather. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES. The final reminder before we bring Jackson up comes courtesy of Joe Cruz, our longtime friend, and his great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. You find him at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. Again, Joe celebrating his 25th anniversary with this great business. Been a booster at Fresno State for over three decades. If you're an industrial person, you're working around a plant, maintenance person, tanker delivery service, working around a boiler, anybody who relies upon a valve, the valve goes down, your business can go down in a big hurry. What Joe has for you is great components, pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, all there under one roof. Family-friendly business. You give them a call, 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or stop by and see him at 4529 North Marty Avenue, Town Suite 103. He's there. Gabe, who works for him, is also there. More information on the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Any problem you have, let Joe know about it. He'll give you a same-day estimate and analyze exactly what he can do to get you up and running if you've already crashed with your business financially because the valve has gone down, or more particularly, if you can get to him right away, he can stop any problem at all for you. So, again, give him a call, stop by and see him. If you have a problem, he will take care of it. And at the same time, if you have a few minutes, he'll tell you what he has done to donate to Fresno State. And the best avenue right now is to head to GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. Can't miss it. It'll take you to different areas of donation. The BDF is there, Bulldog Foundation, celebrating its 75th anniversary right now. It has membership information there. There are also the giving societies on those headers, including Myers Champion, Sterco Green V Society. You have other links that include everything to do with sports clubs, the delineation of how to give, and also you have the very important Valley Co-op there. So you have more information wherever you might need it at GoBulldogs.com. And there's also a link under the header of more that will tell you about tickets and parking for all events on campus. So check all of that out at GoBulldogs.com. And the one reminder about the sports clubs, very important. You can specify your money going directly to an individual team. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick will be with me tomorrow to talk men's basketball. He's on the board of directors of the timeout club. Love to have more members. Jack had said, give him a call directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or on the web, FurtickJack@AOL.com. That's his email. Contact him. He'll let you know what you can do. Doesn't cost much. There's also links there for other sports, dugout club for baseball, some of the women's sports as well. Really important. Find a way to give to Fresno State if you can. We talk about NIL monies. We had Bulldog Bread for a long, long time. The university has everything under their aegis right now. Any way you can help, sponsorship, joining a sports club, anything you might be able to do, donation, please do so. It is something that's very important now, going to be even more important when we get to the pack next year. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz for allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, everybody at Precision Civil Engineering. Again, we'll talk about these schedules for both 1430 and 790 a little later. Thanks, as always, to our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and, of course, the Lee's Air Hotline, 320-1430. That's how we'll bring Jackson Moore up in just a moment. And thanks to the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. That having been said, we bring up our de facto co-host, the King of the Bark Board, Mr. Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
Well, it's been an interesting 2 days, Jackson. I will say this. We have switched over from my end to digital lines, and evidently well, people can hear me okay at the station with the digital lines. Everything coming back to me yesterday and today, not coming back so that I can hear that. I just hear silence, so I've switched back over to the cell again. So if the sound quality goes down, that's the reason. But, you know, we need to get through this, and we will figure it out here as we move through the week. That having been said, Faizan, let's get started here where we left off yesterday with Paul and where you and I were in the last week in the area of, and that is what Fresno State needs to be in the final two for the Mountain West. Rigo had emailed in and said, you know, he started under the header again, Jackson, of first you get $1 million, meaning you buy the premise, you buy the bit. We've talked about this, right? So you can get $1 million. You have $1 million and not pay taxes, the O.C. Martin line, I forgot. But it starts with the premise, first you get $1 million. So Rigo said, first you win three in a row now, and then let's see where you're at. So let's start with this. Do you buy the premise, Jackson, that this team is capable now with two home games, Wyoming and Utah State, and then the game at San Jose State, and, of course, the Spartans hurt themselves greatly with that loss to Air Force at home last weekend, that the Bulldogs are capable of winning these three? Are you right there with that one?
Yeah, I'm capable, yes, absolutely. It's easier said than done when you're talking about being capable three times in a row, though, so... Yes, they can. 2-1 would still be pretty decent, I would say, but it would certainly knock you out of contention for being in that conference championship game. So they've got to be really on their A game for three weeks in a row, which will be tough, but it's possible.
Again, it is part of you buy the premise, you buy the bit. So we're buying the premise. They're going to win three in a row. Okay. So what Rigo wanted to know is there a scenario where the Bulldogs could actually win all three? By the way, nice question, Rigo. Way to put a real douse on the old flame of happiness here, that you could win all three and still find yourself sitting out. And, Jackson, the only way I can see that happening right now, incredibly, involves New Mexico, because if the Bulldogs win the last three, we know it effectively takes out Hawaii, Boise State, as long as the Broncos get a singular loss, and we'll get to that in a moment. And I'm not talking about an undefeated Boise State run. I'm talking about as long as Boise State gets knocked off once here, the Bulldogs would hold tie breaks over everybody except for two teams potentially, UNLV and New Mexico. But UNLV has a very difficult schedule to finish things up. So they've got Utah State and Hawaii at home, and then at Nevada, they would not still have that quality win that would jump over, more than likely, a Bulldog tie, with the Boise State victory being Fresno State's quality win. But, Jackson, when I look at New Mexico, and they've got Colorado State at home, a potentially tough game at Air Force, and then the very interesting scenario finishing up with San Diego State, and this is where I want to go with Rigo's email. Let's go into the premise that San Diego State recovers from Island Fever, which evidently they had Saturday night, because, as you know, they got their holy rear ends kicked in the Islands on Saturday night. That's one of those, if you would have told people to score going in, I think they would have thought the Aztecs would have won. San Diego State was out of that game about the time the national anthem finished. If they come home and play with pride against Boise State, and then the next week they beat San Jose State, my one concern would be, Jackson, if they then go to New Mexico at the end and somehow let down, and so what happens is San Diego State gets in, but with them comes New Mexico, because the quality win against the one seed San Diego State would be good enough to push the Bulldogs out. Is that a legit worry for Rigo and anybody else if San Diego State takes care of business the next 2 weeks at home and the Bulldogs sweep three? Is that a worry in your mind?
Well, I would say you have that scenario, and there's still a lot of other scenarios in play to where you're just concerned in general, because if you map out the last 3 weeks, there is a scenario where there's five teams tied at 6-2, for the first place in the conference standings. There's also a scenario where Fresno State's the only team at 6-2, and they get to host. So there's a lot of different ways it goes, but I think the concerning part is if you don't get into a tiebreaker with teams that you have a direct head-to-head tiebreaker with, it's probably going to the computer polls. And right now, if the season ended, the Bulldogs are on the outside looking in, but just about any combination of teams in that computer poll scenario. So you really would like to get New Mexico and UNLV out of the way, and then it becomes a lot more simpler. But the Lobos and the Rebels could definitely be pests for the Bulldogs if they keep winning.
How important are the quality wins within conference in the dynamic of the computer, which takes everything into account, Jackson? I mean, who has then out of conference that outlier win that really would bolt them up the standings in that kind of situation?
Yeah, it's, you know, there used to be kind of a series of tiebreakers where, you know, you would go down the line and see who had the better common opponent victory, but
right,
it's gotten so complicated now. It's, if you don't have a very clear head-to-head or a round-robin situation, it pretty much just goes straight to those computers, and that's going to qualify all the non-conference players now, where, you know, San Diego State, for example, I'm sure that win against Cal is something that is boosting them in the computers, given the Golden Bears record and how lopsided that game was, something like that. I think Boise State, just their strength of schedule, having played USF and Notre Dame, I mean, they're 6-3, but you have two of those losses, and you're not going to get hurt that bad in the computers compared to the Bulldogs losing to Colorado State. So just in general, the Bulldogs are a little bit behind kind of that run of teams, New Mexico and UNLV, where maybe if they win out, they can catch up some ground, but they're quite a ways behind Boise State and San Diego State. So you just don't want to let it go to the computers if you're the Bulldogs, because it doesn't look great for Fresno State from that standpoint, whereas there are still quite a few head-to-head scenarios where the Bulldogs would certainly get in.
The New Mexico situation is interesting because, you know, well, nobody's been paying attention. The Lobos have been playing pretty good football. And if, for instance, they are able, I mean, they certainly are more than capable and should, come at the Lobos, beat Colorado State, who's really struggling at home this weekend. If they're able to survive at Air Force, and if San Diego State does show up to beat a very limited Boise State team and then San Jose State at home, Jackson, could we have that weird situation where the Aztecs and the Lobos are actually both in when San Diego State goes to New Mexico, and they'll be playing for home field to play one another again the next week, which we kind of saw here between Fresno State and Boise State a while back when we're still in divisional play?
You know, I think it's going to be too muddy probably for that scenario to play out so clearly. As long as a couple teams stay afloat, obviously if Fresno State is sitting there at 5-2 going into the last week, they're going to be in that mix. Boise State could still be, even with the loss against San Diego State right there. So I think it's still going to be a lot of question marks. And I go back to just two seasons ago in 2023 when San Jose State, UNLV, and Boise State were all tied at 6-2. And the way we found out who was playing for the conference championship was Sunday morning. They announced where those three teams were in the computer polls. So it could very well come down to that scenario, even if a couple of teams take care of business.
And the Spartans were not exactly delighted about how that played out, were they? So, I mean, you know, you don't want to be in that situation. Let me ask you this, because when I look at the list of the teams, and like I said, it is a logjam, and I'm with you, even though you and I discussed it the other day, a three-loss scenario. This is not, as we talked, what happened in 2014 when we were in divisional play still, and even though the Bulldogs had that horrific game against Wyoming right at the start of November, there was a path forward where 5-3 was going to win the West. It required cooperation with Boise State beating San Diego State. And if I remember right, I think the Aztecs jumped out to a 20-0 lead, I think, on the Smurf Turf before Boise State woke up and came back to win. But everything fell into place, and the 5-3 Bulldogs found themselves in the title game in Boise. They lost it, and then, of course, we know 2015 and 2016 were absolute unmitigated disasters, but they were able to get in. I know mathematically you could have a three-loss team as the number two seed, but first of all, Jackson, it would take from now until the national championship game to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
We have to play the Mountain West Conference title game sometime in mid-January. Is that what would happen?
Yeah, this whole 12-team, no division, sounds good on paper to get your two best teams. But, you know, when one of your tiebreakers is who's ranked higher in the college football playoff poll, and you basically don't have a team in the top 40 right now, and maybe San Diego State's around that 30 range, you know, there's just no one is fighting for that playoff spot right now, at least on paper. So it gets very complicated when you have these many teams that are all stuck there at the top. I think, just in general, if you're Fresno State, you know, if you win out, I think if San Diego State wins out, which would mean Utah State and New Mexico both get knocked out in the process, you hope UNLV loses somewhere. I think that would basically be chalk if you're on the Bulldogs' point of view, and I think you'd probably get in there. But a lot of wacky things are happening, and I'm sure it's just going to get even more cloudy the time these last 3 weeks are played.
Well, I agree with you. The other thing is, not to further complicate this, though I'm going to anyway, beginning next year, if we're going, I don't know how they're going to work things out, but if we're going to have a conference playoff at the end with an eight-team conference, we're going to face this with that number two seed almost every year in an eight-teamer, right?
That is true, but at least it'll be a true round robin, and you should have head-to-head results at the end of the day to decide those types of things. There's just, with 12 teams, there's so many teams that aren't playing each other. Fresno State, for example, right, they're not playing UNLV. They're not playing New Mexico. All those teams could be tied for second place with some other teams, too, at this rate. So at least in the nine-team setup or the eight-team setup, seven conference games, everyone's going to see each other. And so if you've got, you know, the only way you're going to get something weird is if you've got three teams tied and they all won against each other, you might have to go to computers. But otherwise, it should be pretty fair. Whereas it feels like right now it's just kind of a luck of the draw what teams are playing in a given year. And big kudos to Fresno State, because the preseason poll would have said at Boise State, the last thing you want to have on your schedule, and the Bulldogs went there and won it. So that's a big swing here for Fresno State to be alive.
Well, I'll tell you what, next year, a suggestion to the conference, and that is what you had brought up a little bit earlier, that used to be the case. Since everybody will play everybody, what they need to do, because that scenario can certainly occur where you beat them, they beat this guy, and that guy beats you, to say, simply put, if there isn't a definitive best record between a three- or even four-team tie, then the scaffolding effect you talked about, Jackson, the best win of whoever has that, with the standings being the decider, meaning if you beat the first-place team and nobody else did, then you should be able to go. They should be able, if they use that scenario, right, that criteria, they should be able to get through that okay, correct?
Yeah, I would like to see that, and I would even like to see that here. With this
situation, me too.
As well,
but not playing one another is the problem, yeah. But
yeah,
I know what you mean.
So, like right now, it's who's higher ranked in the college football playoff poll or rankings, and then after that, computers, where we're not talking about getting a Pac-12 team into the college football playoff. I think that scaffolding approach should supersede the computer polls. But at least it makes more sense. It's easier to see on paper who's more deserving.
Yeah. Well, we go back to the old BCS, and we've talked about it over and over again, that the frustration of 2001, which will live on forever for a lot of Bulldog fans, that when the Bulldogs opened up with that add-on game right at the last minute, really, I remember talking to David Carr about the three-game set to be Fresno State opening at home against SI's number one, Oregon State, over Labor Day weekend. Then it was going to be off to Camp Randall to play Wisconsin. Instead, they added that game, I think it was a coach's classic, whatever they called it, in Boulder, against Colorado, and I don't think anybody thought they'd be able to win all three. I remember asking Dave about it, and he goes, yeah, it's going to be tough, but we'll just play them one at a time. Well, when the Bulldogs beat Colorado, everybody was calling for Barnett's head at that point, and then the Bulldogs, of course, destroyed Oregon State here 44-24. Then they go to Camp Randall. Berrien has that huge kick return, and the Bulldogs now are in the top 10. They're 3-0. They're on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And then we have the terrible tragedy of 9/11 on that Tuesday, and everything gets pushed back. But the Bulldogs were sitting high and mighty, and nobody was thinking about Colorado. Yet, at the end of the year, Jackson, if not for, I think, Rice beating somebody else, isn't that when you're talking about this crazy strength of schedule and who played who, some last-minute score in a game that Colorado had nothing to do with kept them out of a national title opportunity that Nebraska got. And that's what this reminds me of again, right? We're talking about who beat who lost to who, what a team did that you played at the start of the year that might affect all of this. That's really unnecessary, isn't it, within the confines of your conference itself?
I think so. I think it's also kind of silly as well. Again, if the goal is to get a team in the playoff, that changes the math, but that's not what is happening here. It's about trying to get the two most deserving teams right at this point into the championship game. And if you're going to computers polls, that's going to factor in a whole bunch of non-conference results that I don't know, even if there's a late August game, is that representative of who these teams are in November when the games that should matter most are being played? I'm not so certain. So, especially with this era of transfer portal, everything, it's, you look a lot different after a few games than you did at the beginning. And a lot of teams are ramping up for conference play and trying to make a run, and then you get dinged by something that happened in August or September. That's a little tough to swallow when it should be a little more simpler to figure this all out, I would say. And it certainly was with divisions, but you can understand if a conference has two ranked teams in one division, they would rather have those two teams play and try to get to the playoff. But in a year like this, that doesn't really matter too much.
And the irony is it started with the Big 12. They were the ones that wanted to do this to begin with because they were down teams with teams leaving. We'll see. All I know is that it is very difficult when, as we've talked over and over again, it's not who you play, particularly non-conference, but rather when you play them. If you play a team that was playing great at the start of the year and somebody else plays them at the end of the year when they're injury-riddled or the wheels have come off emotionally, it's a completely different team. So unless you're going to put a numeric value on the quality of an opponent every week you play there, I'm not talking about a point spread, but in a 0 to 100, Penn State might have been an 85 at one point. Now if you play them, Jackson, they're about a negative 12, okay? Unless you're going to put a numeric value, and goodness knows what committee is going to do that, on when you played a team, what your health might have been at the time, it doesn't make any sense to me to do it to decide anything in conference. I get it in the overall scope of the country, as was the case with the BCS, where somebody that was not even in the Big 12 had some sort of deciding factor in what happened between Nebraska and Colorado. I understand that nationally, but within the confines of your conference championship game only, I don't think you should really account for anything outside of the conference itself. But then again, they don't listen to me. Like I've said before, they listen to me in a way I might as well be married to them, if you know what I'm saying. You'll find out. All right. I wanted to ask you, don't you dare. For your own benefit, don't you dare. Very quickly, most dangerous team that we're not talking about, would it be Utah State? Is this the team that has enough on their schedule remaining? Where Boise State's pretty beat up. San Diego State controls its own destiny. We talk about New Mexico, but Utah State is almost on everybody's schedule the rest of the way. They're on Boise's schedule. They're on Fresno State's schedule. They're on UNLV's schedule. Are they the team that you better pay attention to the way they score?
Yeah, especially for Fresno State. In the context of the Bulldogs getting in, you kind of just assume they're going to lose to Fresno State and be knocked out if you're on the path for the Bulldogs. If Fresno State were to lose that game, Utah State's schedule is very difficult to manage those three wins in a row, probably the toughest path of any team. So it seems unlikely, but they are very capable of winning any or multiple of those games along the way and really ruining someone's season that they're going up against. So I think it's probably most concerning for Fresno State and potentially Boise State if the Broncos don't get Maddox Mattson back at quarterback, because just the Aggies, they do have the offensive firepower. They can score early and often and try to get you in a shootout. And, of course, that's not the way the Bulldogs want to play. So that game and San Jose State for the Bulldogs are ones that they really need to start strong and set the tempo and avoid getting into that hole. As we've seen, the Bulldogs haven't struggled to finish any games. It's been the games that they've struggled to start have been the ones that have gotten away from them. So those are two teams that have a recipe to make that happen.
Well, to wrap this up for Rigo, is it fair to say that both of us believe if the Bulldogs win their last three that they are very, very likely to be playing in the title game? Is that fair to say right now? And you can change your mind on Thursday if you'd like.
You know, there's so many scenarios, it's hard to say. I think if Fresno State wins and San Diego State wins out, it's hard to see one of those scenarios coming into play that hurts the Bulldogs. They should be in at that rate, but that requires six W's to be counted on, and it's hard to count on many in this conference right now.
Well, if New Mexico continues to win, San Diego State, if they want to host, they're going to have to continue to win, because the way things are set up after the Aztec loss, if New Mexico wins their final three, depending on what happens to everybody else, of course, in San Diego State, even if they beat Boise and San Jose State at home, they would end up with two losses, and New Mexico would beat them. Now, whether the Aztecs are even considering that, I don't know. Make sure you hit them with an email, Jackson, and let them know they need to be motivated for Fresno State's benefit, okay? Because I know that they're always very concerned about the Bulldogs' well-being there in San Diego. Okay, that's enough of that. All right, two things quickly here. One, what about the decommits, Jackson? Anything you can tell me about the decommits for Fresno State?
You know, anytime you've got three in 48 hours, it appears concerning on surface level. From what I've gathered, there's some circumstances there to where, you know, it's not always the recruit bailing on the school. Sometimes the school has its reasons for moving away from a recruit. You know, in the case of Cade Hollis, which is the most notable loss of that group, he did take an official visit to Wake Forest and maybe headed elsewhere. I know a lot of schools don't like it too much when their commits are officially visiting other schools. So you know, some of that is in play here. And the Bulldogs also have a big class. So, frankly, opening three spots gives them a little bit of wiggle room here to decide what to do with those as the offseason is around the corner.
Well, we'll see how, you know, things play out. It is the nature of the beast right now. It's something you have to get used to, right? Both good and bad, Jackson, with the freedom of movement.
Yeah, definitely. And again, the Bulldogs right now have about 24 commits total. I believe it's 22 on scholarship. They've got a few more in the pipeline. They've got a big senior class. There's going to be transfer portal window in January now, which is going to change the map a little bit, having that moved back. So a lot of moving parts, and you know, this program really wants to be built on big high school classes first and foremost. So they've got that already in the bag, and now it's time to really hone in on those last few spots and then try to make some moves for next year's team.
You know, and I guess it's something that a degree of sympathy to the high school athlete too, because freedom of movement means they may think there's a slot for them right away, and then all of a sudden transfer portal comes in and there's no room at the end, correct? I mean, that's something we don't talk about much, but if you're a high school guy and you're watching other people end up in the program putting you back a little bit farther, it does mean you have to reconsider sometimes, even as a high school recruit, correct?
Yeah, it's really ramped up the timeline for high school recruits. A lot of them are committing in the summer now to lock in those spots, and there's not as much high school recruiting situations going on in the fall, especially you know, up until signing day. There may be a few priority recruits that have the freedom to move around, but a lot of times it can be a tough situation if you lose a spot late or if you decommit on your own and try to go somewhere else. There's not a lot of openings, but a lot of recruits, you try to lock them down in June or July, and then sometimes you've got 5 months to make further evaluations. Sometimes the recruit might decide it's not the place for them after all, or the school might decide, you know, they didn't see what they wanted on that senior film, and it changes things, and even with the already committed recruit. So For the majority, it works out pretty well, but there are some cases there where it can be tough.
Well, as Paul and I were talking yesterday, the new world of college athletics, it requires an adjustment, big-time adjustment on a day-to-day basis. I'm still trying to get a handle on it myself, and Paul made it clear yesterday, and I certainly understand and support what he's saying, that it is very, very difficult to view it the way we did before. It's requiring a massive change in the prism of how you view athletics in general, and I wish it wouldn't have taken place, but I understand why it did. And as you've mentioned, Jackson, what do you want to say? It's trying to get the genie back in the bottle or the toothpaste back in the tube. It's not going to happen, right? It is fait accompli. To talk about any kind of change right now, it would be tantamount to shutting the barn door after the horse done run away. So you're not going to change it. Maybe Congress can codify something in the future, but they've got other worries right now, okay? Like a House of Representatives that actually needs to get back to Washington, D.C., where they haven't been for a month and a half, but still being paid nonetheless. All right, that's enough of that. Last thing for you here. We are absolutely locked in to 7:30 football from FS1 and 7 o'clock at SMC the same night for basketball. For conference reasons in volleyball and everything else, it's just not going to change, correct?
As far as I know, it looks like it's locked in. It's unfortunate that men's basketball and football have to be head-to-head against one another with times. I'm sure it's going to hurt. The draw at the Save Mart Center, unfortunately, probably more than anything. But a lot of logistics into it, just didn't seem to be any way they could get around that one, unfortunately.
The women's team is home tonight with Seattle at 6:30, the men at 6 o'clock tomorrow against UC San Diego, and then that Utah Valley game at 7 o'clock on Saturday. I know that it was a nice bounce back against Long Beach State, though the 49ers have had their problems now. Their long losing streak continues. Do you believe that the basketball team for the men took a major step forward Saturday, or was it just a sigh of relief to try to get some of that USC upstate game out of their system?
A bit of both. It was impressive to see what this team can do. Both, I would say, I mean, it was really nice to see the three-point shooting just take off in the second half against Long Beach State. It looked like an entirely different team when you're making 7 out of 9 to start the second half. And just to have a team that's capable of that, you know, if that comes at any given moment against any opponent, you feel like you've got a shot. I think probably more important was the fact that they opened the game 2 of 9 from the field with 8 turnovers. It was exactly the type of hangover start you would not want to see after that USC upstate game. But the effort was so strong on the defensive side of the ball that they still were leading the game and winning the halftime with an 8-point lead before any of those threes started falling. So it was good to see on both sides. I feel like this team has played pretty well for 5 halves. Unfortunately, that one bad half really cost them an ugly loss against USC upstate. But this game against UC San Diego will be, I think, a little more telling. I don't know exactly what the Tritons are this year, but they were certainly a 30-win NCAA tournament-type team last year. They're 2-0 with a 50-point margin of victory so far through 2 games. So this should be it's not a team that you'll see on paper at that school, that logo, and you think very much of as far as college athletics go. But, if they would have played them last year, that would have been one of the biggest games of the season, and you take them that seriously this year coming into this one as well.
Well, again, 6 o'clock tomorrow. I wish they were playing at 7, but I guess the surveys say 6. That's awfully tough on the weeknights, but hopefully people get out there. And also, certainly, the women's team, very entertaining, 6:30 tonight. So hope people can make it out to SMC the next 2 nights, and then we'll see what happens Saturday. Tough situation, but there's nothing we can do about it scheduling-wise. Jackson, I appreciate it. So let you go. Anything on the board beyond the 30%? Where are we at here?
Yeah, currently 30% off the year. It's also just $1 for your first month to check things out. And I was at practice today. Got to see the team for the first time since Boise State. Get the update on some injury situations and some interviews and check things out. So all that's up on the boards for VIP subscribers now.
Well, it's well worth it. Again, check it out, barkboard.com. The sub doesn't cost very much to be part of the Insider Board. Appreciate it, Faizan. I will talk to you on Thursday, and you can completely change your mind about everything if you'd like. I'll do the same. I'll talk to you in about 48 hours. Take care.
All right. You too, Tony. Thank you.
All right. De facto co-host Jackson Moore. Take a break. Come back, tell you about the schedule, and it off to Phil, his outstanding show, Behind the Bench, the full 3 hours today, and we get ready for a very important NFL football week coming up. And for us, that means Thursdays and Sundays and Sunday nights and Monday and all of that. I'll tell you about all the schedule right after the break as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 52. Welcome back to the show. I have it off the great show Behind the Bench, full 3 hours. Again, I remind you, on Thursdays, Phyllis at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian, El Paso across from River Park. Best furniture you can find anywhere, nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well. Stop by and see him or give Phil a call, as always, on the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. I want to tell you about the schedule for both stations in a moment, but first I want to remind you one more time about our pals at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Right now, in the midst of the throwback to the late 90s, classic honey barbecue flavor on everything, chicken sandwiches, tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love. The 2-, 3-, 4-piece meals are on sale on a Tuesday basis. You've got the $10 8-piece bucket or tenders offer that's been there for a long time. On Wednesdays, the country fried steak meal, only $5.99. So stop by the local KFCs. As always, it's finger-licking good. And when you stop in, pick up a bucket or two and tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout the Central Valley. Speaking of athletics throughout the Central Valley, huge high school playoff game coming up. I'll tell you about that and all the schedules right now for both 1430 and our sister station, the new 790, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And again, we commend Ed for the great work he does for his alma mater, Fresno State, in particular for the Lyles College of Engineering. Always unifying athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. That's what Ed and Precision Civil Engineering is able to do. And a lot of those grads from the Lyles College of Engineering go to work for Ed and help out across the valley with their great work. And we thank Ed for everything he does for us and for his alma mater. As far as the lineup, the Sharks are up tonight against the Wild. The Lakers back tomorrow against OKC. When we get to Thursday, another important week, week 11 of the NFL, and during that particular time, we have the Thursday, Sunday night, and, of course, Monday national games. And this Monday, major wager money happens to involve the Raiders, so we'll have the Raider feed instead of the Westwood One feed, but always Carter and the gang, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, Granite Park, the great food of me and Ed's, wonderful atmosphere, big screen TVs, and always a tremendous matchup. And this one, the Raiders and the Cowboys, both teams desperately in need of wins. 5 o'clock, they'll kick it at 5:15. We'll have the Raider broadcast for you and the game on both ABC television and ESPN. So stop by, see Carter and everybody, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Granite Park, Cedar and Dakota, 5 o'clock or thereabouts on Monday for Major Wager Monday. For us, big matchups on Sunday as well. The 49ers are in Arizona. The 49ers have to win. The fife and drum routine is really getting to them right now. The big game, the Rams and the Seahawks, that'll be on 790, both starting at the same time. Unfortunately for Ram fans in the Fresno area, it'll be the 49ers and the Cardinals on Fox, but if you've got the sub, and it's very expensive, the sub through YouTube TV or YouTube itself for the National Football League, you'll be able to see the Rams and the Seahawks, or you can catch it at some establishment in town. But we'll have the Ram feed for you on 790, the 49er feed, of course, on 1430. A big, big weekend and important games for everybody. I think right now the Rams may very well be the best team in the National Football League. What they'd like to have is home field advantage to avoid going to a cold weather city in January. So we'll see how it plays out as we head down the home stretch. Remind you that Paul Metters, who will be with Phil for Clovis and Clovis West, Pat Hill as well, on Friday, 6:30, 7 o'clock playoff action. Paul has two great shows, Sunbird Sports Show on 790, 6 to 7 on Wednesday evenings, and also his fine and long-running show, Centrally Sports Report, on 1430 live from First Ring Sports on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to noon. So check that out. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number one, at att.net. First names are fine. Everything that we can possibly offer from ESPN is there for you as well. And all the local sports with Phil, Paul, through football, basketball, and baseball locally. So we look forward to all of that. And, of course, the Sunbirds as well. I want to thank Jackson Moore again for his time today. And thank Jorge, as always. We'll see you tomorrow with Jack Furtig. And one final reminder on Veterans Day, anybody that you know that's a vet, please tell them thanks for their service. And you'll give them a meal or two or three or four or five or six, whatever you can do, because they certainly deserve it. And I hope everybody has had and will have a very meaningful day. Keep in mind what it's all about, because these are the people that have given us the freedom that we have right now. Thanks, everybody. See you guys tomorrow. Thank you again to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. You can reach Phil on that Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Phil is coming up for three full hours on KFIG Fresno.